Let's commit our time into his hands. Heavenly Father, thank you for this meeting. Thank you that you make it possible and that you place it within our hearts to come and hear your word. Father, we thank you for this time now, and may this glorify your name in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise God. I've got a title here for us to consider today, and we're calling our teaching Our Past God Will Call Into Account. Our past God will call into account. Now, before you all start to get very nervous about this, bear with me, because we're going to see how God uses the past in which to build our future. He uses the past, our experiences of how we learn, and that we can move forward by faith, trusting him. So that's where we're coming from with regard to this. So we're calling this teaching, Our Past God Will Call Into Account. And I want us to start first with how God used this with the children of Israel. And turn with me now, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we will look at verses 32 to 40. Deuteronomy 4, 32 to 40. And here Moses is addressing the children of Israel. And we take it up in verse 32. He says, "For ask now concerning days that are past, which were before you since the day that God created man on earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether any great thing like this has happened or anything like this has ever been heard." So he's bringing to Israel's account of God, how he has created man, the world, everything. And he's getting them to think upon this. He's showing what he has done. And he goes on, "Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard and live?" So he's showing them that out of all nations, they are having revelation. God spoke to them through the fire. No other nation had any experience like this. Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials and signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand, an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes?" So he's reminding how God brought out a nation was from Pharaoh, how his heart became harder and stubborn, the warfare that it took, the trial, the walk in the wilderness to bring a nation out. And he goes on, "To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God and there is none other beside him." So God calls into account these things for the purpose that we may know that the Lord himself is God. So this is where we're coming from today with this teaching, Our Past God Will Call Into Account. Out of heaven he let you hear his voice, that he might instruct you on earth. He showed you his great fire. You heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them, and he brought you out of Egypt with his presence, with his mighty power. So there, God calling the patriarchs of old, through that God was preparing to call a nation, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you to give you their land as an inheritance as it is this day. So look at this. This is how we walk by faith, and this principle still applies with us today, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you. There they are, those large mountains, obstacles. That's always how God works. Things that are greater and mightier than we are. Makes us look like ants before the giants. That's how he works every time. And he goes, therefore know this and consider it in your heart, that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may be well with you and with your children after you, that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. There we go. So you see, God reveals he's dealing with the past and the future. This is what he's showing them through Moses. And he reveals the future as mercies of God. He's the mercy of God, Yahweh. For Israel, it was based on a covenant of obedience. We've just read that in verse 40. For us, it's instructions. That's why election always stands in redemptive history. Those who are called from the foundation of the world, God reveals in redemptive history so that we can learn. That we can learn also from Israel's failure. So isn't it wonderful how God has everything under complete control? Now let's turn with that to Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 15. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 15, we're calling our teaching today, our past God will call into account. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 15, that which is has already been, and that which is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. So our past will come before us when we stand before him. And that's why we need to be in faith and we trust God and we yield to the Spirit. Because it says here, that which is has already been, and that what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. So God knows the future. And if we keep close to him, we shall have a good account when we stand before him. So, we often at the end look, particularly when we come to the end of a year and we're going to start a new year. Isn't it interesting how people look back over the year and what has been achieved or what is done or whatever it is, or maybe I need to learn from last year. I made some mistakes. It's interesting how people observe that as we enter into a new year. But for us, our new year doesn't lie with anxiety and fear, because our faith is in the Lord and God is the strength of my life. God will direct my path as long as we keep our eyes upon the Lord and do not look to the left or to the right, but keep our eyes and heart on him. He will bless our future, because our future is what we learn from the past, and we've all made mistakes. And we ask the Lord in his mercy and grace that I don't make this mistake again for his glory. And so these are the blessings of God as we move forward. And our memories are of yesterday, the past. and we learn from the past. And we have to really take this one seriously. And this is where you have to be humble and honest before God. We have missed it, all of us. And if it were not for the grace and mercy of God, none of us would be here. We certainly would have been listening to this teaching. So because we're here, God has drawn us together in fellowship to hear his word. That is a sign that God is dealing also with my past. This is why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb isn't just for future. The blood deals with my past as well. And thank God for that. Now, what do we read in Isaiah 52 and verse 12? Isaiah 52 and verse 12. He says, "For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard." Isn't that wonderful? So as you go out each day, as we face this day by faith, he's not only the God who's leading us forward, but he's the God of the behind, the rear also, using our past, our history, so that we don't veer off or make these same old mistakes. And at times we have. We've all said to the Lord, "Lord, I've been here before. When am I going to learn?" Well, he's using all of that. Praise God. If that is your experience, or if that's what you have said to him, then here it is. You've got a wonderful verse here in Isaiah 52, 12. He's going to be your God of the rear also, using the past for your deliverance, so that you can yield to the Spirit and not keep resisting him. So he reveals he is the God of our past, our yesterdays. You see, often God uses the past. It's in which to build upon our faith for our spiritual growth. It's all for what? For the future. Even this teaching today, as we mix faith with that which we hear, is for our future, for tomorrow, for next week, if the Lord tarries. It's all a building, a block by block. That's why it says faith comes by hearing the word of God, so that we can walk with him, trust and believe, and stand upon these promises that he's given to us. And that's why God allows the memory of the past in which to protect us for the future. There are certain things of the past that we've learnt, which is protecting us. That is why the word of God is also historic. It shows all the saints and Israel's history, both good and bad points. God isn't afraid to bring out the failures, unlike we are. They're all there for a reason. That it shows he's the God of the rear and of the future. I'm reminded of the children of Israel, when God led them by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. The cloud was in front and the pillar of fire was at the back, showing he's all around them. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. Nothing misses his eye. We are ever in his presence, ever being watched night and day, never out of his sight. And this is a glimpse of what he's showing us. So what is our security then for tomorrow? Well, it means that the Lord will go before you. And this is the great revelation if we believe it. And that's why we have the Word of God. That's why he says he will lead and guide our feet. We look to the Lord. We have the Holy Spirit now who has come to lead and guide us into all truth. And as we glean from the Word of God, it helps to guide us and direct us. You see, this is why teaching is so important, that in the teaching it builds us up in our belief for our guidance, our walk with him. There are a lot of Christians who profess Christ, but they don't really walk with him. Sadly, there are a lot of assemblies and churches, but they're not really moving with God, walking with him, because they're not taught to. They're not taught faith, to trust and believe, you see. It's unhealthy if you're not moving with God. Exactly like I say with many who profess Christ, but they're not maturing and growing in the faith. They still want the milk of the word, and we have to be weaned off that to take the meat of the word, as it says in the book of Hebrews. All of that is so important for us to move forward with God. And many believers don't, because they're not trusting the Lord. They're afraid to step out in faith and believe him. That's why I often use the analogy of the disciples in the boat when they saw Jesus walking on the water. Only one out of all of them got out and walked towards him, believing. Yes, he made a bit of a mess of it and started to sink. But the Lord was there to hold him, to stop him from going under. He moved forward. And that is what we are to do. And we too often hide behind the word of God and our knowledge, which is of no use unless we apply it and live it. As James says, don't only be hearers, but doers of the word. And that's what sorts out the men from the boys. Because otherwise you're not really moving forward with God. And that's why we have our past history, all that God has done, to show us so that we don't make those mistakes. Maybe some of us are frightened to step out in faith because I did and nothing happened. Well, let what appeared to be nothing happened to move forward so it does happen, because you won't make that same mistake again. I have made mistakes sometimes with my steps of faith, but I'm not going to let that put me off, because I trust God. His word isn't wrong. I'm the one that got it wrong. And this is where we have to humble ourselves and be honest. I messed it up. I thought it was faith, but obviously it wasn't. And I've repented. I've come clean before God. And what do? We say, Lord, give me another chance for your glory. And he does. And somehow, some way, you will find God will bring you into that similar situation. And this time you will get it right. It will be faith. It will be a miracle or whatever. What have you done? You've learned from the past, the God of the rear. But you can only really learn from the past when you are humble, when you are honest, and not try to hide these things from the Lord. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him, as we know in Hebrews 11:6. And that's why he specifically keeps watch, so that we don't repeat the past all the time, our failures. And that's why he's our rear guard. I remember years back when I was at school, we had a strict master who used to take us for games. And they were quite keen that we would do running. And we used to have to run both summer and winter. And we hated it in the winter because it was so cold. And a few of us, and I have to regard it was one of me, we had to go out and run, and we were timed as to how long the run would be to get back. And a few of us, we took a shortcut. We knew the route, but we also knew some shortcuts. So we used to get back. And of course, he began to think, well, how come that they've got back earlier than some of the others? And these guys, these young men are not as so fit, because we didn't think like that, you see. So he decided one day he would run with us. And we thought, oh no, we can't do our shortcuts. And he saw us tagging on, you know, gasping for breath. Come on, keep up. He was running behind us, you see. And that's what it reminds me of, you see. God is of the rear. We try to get away with it. We try and find the shortcuts, only to find he's running with us behind to make sure that we are trained. We do the course. And that reminds me, it brings that back to memory, how we try to get away with it. But we couldn't. You see, that our teacher, he was smart. And God is the same. He's going to do this so that you overcome. You will achieve. You will triumph. And you're going to thank him that he is my God of the rear also. But God also cleanses the past, so our consciences are clear and not in guilt or condemnation. If you're in condemnation or your conscience isn't right, then that is a sign the past needs to be dealt with. There is unconfessed sin or resentment or unforgiveness. And I have found in counselling over the years as a pastor, a lot of Christians are bound in this area of unforgiveness. They hold the past. They hold the past against people and whatever, and they can't move on because the conscience needs cleansing. What do we see in the book of Exodus? Exodus 14, I believe, 14. Verses 19 and 20. Exodus 14, 19 and 20. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. And so it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. So there we see how God cleanses the past. There are a lot of Christians who still sadly are in darkness. They're not in light as they should be. And the reason being is because the conscience is not right. They're holding past sins, resentment, unforgiveness. And often what is attached behind all of that is pride. The cross is not working. The cross is there for the past. The cross is there for our conscience, so that the blood can be applied to keep us standing in his presence, for him to work, deliver, and save us, you see. We are our own worst enemy when we hold things against other people. You see, it's a clear sign that you have not allowed the past to be dealt with. Because when we become a new creation in Christ, born again from above by the Spirit, it means all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what it means. And so the past has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. It's been cleansed because I've confessed it. I've renounced it. I've brought it out into the light. I'm holding grudges, resentment, unforgiveness. And that's why you don't move on with God. And so many are bound by this. But praise God, he's the God of the rear, and he will work and until we come to that place. But we really, really do have to watch this one. And that's why God presents the cross to us, which we daily take up. I am crucified with Christ. It doesn't matter what they say. What is that to a dead man or woman who's on the cross? Say what they want. You know, I'm dead to it. I'm alive unto Christ. The trouble is we still listen too much to the devil, his lies, his deceptions, his condemnation. And you've got to allow that cross to do its work. And that's why, as he said back in Isaiah, he's our security. You shall not go out with haste. You see, as we face this each day and all the trials, temptations, all the things that go on during that day, we face it with the Lord. We're not impulsive. We take step by step as we walk in faith, looking to him. And we really need to learn that he goes before and that he's dealt with our yesterdays. Even if we've missed the opportunities, okay, they may never return, but God will always use the past in which to use it for the future and our walk with him. And you see, this is where our fears and anxieties and the negative attitudes are dealt with. A lot of fear, anxiety, negative attitudes is because the past still has a hold over you. You've got to let it go, brothers and sisters. That's why you don't move on. Take those opportunities as steps going forward with him. That's why you can get up this day and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I take my steps forward this day in Christ. Yesterday has gone. Today is a new day with the Lord. And all of the yesterdays, God is going to use that for my victory this day that I walk with him. Because Satan wants to hold you in the past. And he'll do this if you don't see today as a future with Christ. And that's the problem. A lot of Christians don't meet each day right with God. And you have to. This is why when you wake up, you talk with him. You meet with him. You commit that day to him. You seek him. And then you are equipped in which to walk this day. If you allow the hindrances to get in, to stop you from walking with God, then all you're going to start looking at is the negative, and the negative often looks to the past. And what is the past? I'm hurt because somebody upset me. I hear this so often out of Christians because they don't learn to walk with God and to take up their cross daily and follow the Lord. The Holy Spirit will do it. The Holy Spirit will work that death. He'll keep you nailed to the cross because it is the focal point of the gospel. Why the cross? Because at the foot of the cross, it's level for all. That's why. You read the book of Galatians. There, the apostle deals very clearly with the walk in the Spirit. He shows the difference between the walk in the Spirit and those who walk in the flesh. And those who walk in the flesh, it's strife. It's lust, it's me, self-centeredness, all about me. I see so many Christians. I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus, and the next thing you read in their profile is all about them, how they look. And I've done my workout today at the gym and they're showing off their muscles or whatever it would be. That's a lot of what you see today of Christianity, and people believe it. We don't see these modest lives that God calls us to be, who walk after the Spirit. That love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control, and all the fruit of the Spirit is to be found in the baptism of the Spirit. It's the empowerment of the Spirit revealing the fruit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The fruit of the Spirit is Jesus Christ. It's Him who's come to live in our lives now. It's Him that we reveal. Not the flesh. And why we see so much flesh today in Christendom? Because the cross is never taught behind the pulpit. As I wrote recently online, I raised the question, how many of you had teaching on the cross, death to the self-life, taking it up daily, crucified with Him? Not one could answer. Because they don't get it. Because most of your preachers don't understand it. And if they do preach it, they'll empty their churches. And that's too big a cost. Narrow is the way, Jesus said, into the kingdom. It's the broad way they want. But, you know, God's sorting it out. And as we move to the day when persecution comes, and it's coming to the church, it's coming to the West, that is what's going to sort so much of this out. And particularly when Antichrist comes on the scene. He's going to make war with the church and with Israel. You don't want to be around when that happens. But it will sort it out. God is going to allow it to happen because there are too many who call themselves Christians but are not. And we likewise have to examine ourselves whether we are of the faith. And to do that, God will use the past. He'll use our failures where we've missed it. And that will be a means of being able to get it right. But this will only happen to those who walk humbly before Him. The proud will not see it. See, pride believes I'm right and I've got it right. And boy, do we see a lot of that. That is not to the humble. The humble realize that their strength lies in the Lord. It is mercy and grace. They realize what their lives were and what they have been delivered from, and how it is God's love that has delivered me and saved me and given me a standing before him. None of us can boast in any of that. We are his handiwork. And what God is requiring now from all of us is these empty vessels, so that we are filled with the Spirit of God, of him, not us. We decrease that he increases. You see? John the Baptist, the great prophet, he saw that when he saw Christ. He said, I decrease that he increases. He wasn't proud. He saw immediately the mind and hand of Almighty God. He had done his job as one greater who has come. But if he was a man of pride, he wouldn't have been able to have said that. This is why we walk, as I close now with this. This is why we walk the way of the cross. And this is why in FGA we make much of it. We are crucified with Christ, but not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It was not only the apostles' confession, but it's our confession as well. The apostle knew it was the cross that kept him humble before God with all that revelation that he was receiving. He was very mindful of that. He said, the only thing I boast in is that cross. He dared not boast in his ministry, his authority, revelation that he was receiving. He dared not to boast in any of that. He feared that. But God had to use his past in which to work that. And we know what his past was. A Pharisee of the Pharisees, persecuting the church, throwing them in prison. Persecuting them. He was out. He meant business. And God met with him. And the moment he saw Jesus, he was never the same. You'll know when you've met with Jesus, because what came out of his mouth comes out of ours. Lord, what will you have me to do? No longer yourself. What you want to do before God is, Lord, what will you have me to do? That is humility. And with that, when that comes out of our mouth, our confession, then God can begin to use you. But you've got to be on that Damascus road. You have to meet him face to face. And when you do, you are never the same. Thank God for that. That is why we have to be born above of the Spirit. And when we're born again of the Spirit, we won't resist, we won't fight, but we will yield to the Spirit and allow him to do that work through us, because we can't do it. We can't even save ourselves. It's all the grace and mercy of God, because God first loved us. So there we are, like with the Apostle Paul, God used his past in which to get him to meet the risen Christ, and he fell on his face. So with the past with us, we likewise fall on our face because we've met with the risen Christ, and we are never the same. Hallelujah.